Hello and welcome to the OR Gamecast episode 21. I'm Nick and I'm joined by Quinn. What's going on, Quinn?
Were you about to mess up my name?
I was trying to... there was something in my head that I was going to say, but then as I started to say it, I was like, abandon ship. And now I don't even remember what I was going to say.
What would your superpower be, Nick?
Superpower?
What would your superpower be?
To make any flavor Oreo.
Out of what? Like, do you have to touch an Oreo and then change its flavor? Or are you just like, you sweat Oreos of different flavors?
Sweat Oreos of different flavors. Like, I want a cookies and cream Oreo. Well, that's just a normal Oreo.
Yeah,
I can
that's
have
just
it at any
normal.
Time. If I want a root beer Oreo, I can make that. I can do anything with Oreos.
Now, if you're sweating these Oreos out and redigesting them, like, how does that work? Now, are you, like, losing mass when you create these Oreos and you have to eat the Oreos to gain back your mass? Or is it just your sweat just turns to Oreos when it hits the air and it has nothing to do with your body mass?
Whichever one's less gross, because I will solve world hunger with all the Oreos I'm being able to produce.
Yeah, but then you would, like, quadruple world like diabetes and obesity. So I'm pretty sure all those kids in Africa aren't gonna be happier when they're 300 pounds, you know?
I don't know. Maybe they will.
You know, hopefully they like cookies and cream or some other flavor of Oreo.
Yeah. And another power I have is that I can make it any stuffed Oreo. I can have quadruple stuff. I can have any type of stuff.
Wow, you're thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. If some kid only likes cream, look at that. 10 stuffed. Dodecahedron stuffed. All right?
It's crazy. I got the idea because I bought red velvet Oreos the other day. Because I saw it at the store and I was like, I should try this. It's all right.
It's all right. Nothing special.
Nothing special. The birthday cake one and the Reese's peanut butter cup one are my favorite.
Oh, wow.
I made that Oreo video that one time.
Yeah, you did.
One of Quinn's favorites. And if you want more information on Oreos, I'd watch that on Quinn Does Gaming's YouTube channel.
I need to try all these different types of Oreos. I haven't really tried anything except normal Oreos because I thought, hey, I like normal Oreos. I guess I'll just keep eating normal Oreos. But birthday cake and Reese's. Reese's sounds pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about birthday cake.
Birthday cake's really good, too. It's vanilla. It's a vanilla cookie with, frosting.
Yeah. Like, the thing I would have a problem with is probably red velvet. Because when eating red velvet cake, like, the worst part of the cake is usually, like, how strong the filling is. Like, the cream.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like the cream would be nasty on red velvet, even though, like, the cream's usually the best part of an Oreo, so.
It's not the same cream that from a normal Oreo, though.
I know. It's, like, red velvety cream.
Right.
And I don't like red velvety cream.
Oh, like a cream cheese frosting?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what
I don't,
it is.
I'm not into cream cheese frostings all that much.
Well, that's a shame.
Well, I'm sorry.
You're
I like them, but usually with red velvet cakes, they're usually like heavily dumped onto it, you know? And it's like, oh, this, I get it. I can taste the cream cheese frosting. I don't need, like, this is not a bagel. This is airy cake, you know?
Yeah, I guess, but I think the frosting is the best part.
All right.
Moving on, what have you been up to this week?
Well, so last week I was talking about getting a job interview, and you were talking about how they sounded pretty desperate, and obviously they were, because they just kind of threw me a job.
Nice.
It was like, yeah, this is not really an interview. We're, like, showing you around our business, because you're going to be working here now, and I'm like, oh, all right.
don't even have a choice.
Yeah, it was pretty, it was kind of weird, because I had only previously met one, like, I've only met one of the people just because she was the one interviewing me last year for an internship.
Yeah.
And so last year, I didn't even get to go inside their office because she didn't want me to go in there. It was kind of like this private thing, right?
Okay.
And this time, I just walk up, I see her, and then she, like, takes me inside the office immediately, like, has a bunch of keys out, like, unlocks these doors where it's, like, no one should be in here, and she, like, it's just showing me all the entire building, and she's like, oh, you know this person, right, and this person, and I'm like, no, I've only talked to you, and she's like, oh, well, you'll get to know them pretty quickly here, and then, oh, let's go down to our warehouse building. And, like, our production building and all this other stuff. And, oh, here's this person and this person. And, oh, hey, Quinn's going to be working for us now. Here's Quinn. Nice to meet him, right? And I'm like, okay, this is, like, I haven't yet said I'll work for you, but I guess I have no choice now. Because you're introducing me to all these people.
Yeah.
And, like, showing me your private places. Well, not, okay, that was kind of awkward, but showing me your, like, loot, because goddamn, this place has so much hardware for production and stuff. If you rob this place, you would be a millionaire, so.
Interesting. So, to get down to it, Quinn joined a pyramid scheme.
Oh, I did one time. That's an interesting story, but I won't really talk about that. It was actually the first day of community college. Great. I sat next to someone. Oh no, I sat down, and then this guy came in late to a lecture class. So it was like 300 people and like 500 seats or something. And this guy sits next to me. He like looks at me and he sits next to me, and he starts talking about his pyramid scheme that he just joined, and he's like trying to sell me on it, and it was really terrible. I'm like, this is a pyramid scheme. I don't want to get involved at all. And so the pyramid scheme was selling these soft drinks, right?
Okay.
And he's like, oh, dude, they're awesome. You want one here? I got like 28 in my bag. I'm like, no, I'm good, man. And he's like, no, you know what? After this class, just come to my house. And I followed him to his house. I followed him to his house so he could show me his, like, 200 soft drinks he just purchased from someone because he's in a pyramid scheme. And every day after that, he would, like, try and find me in this crowd of, like, 300 people to sit next to me and continue to try and sell me on this pyramid scheme. Oh, my God.
Did you actually start trying to sell stuff?
No. I'm not retarded. I'll just, like, you know, I'm too busy.
I only go to people's houses I don't know.
I was just like, no, it may be... Maybe, you know, college is different. I gotta meet some friends on my first day of school, you know?
You still haven't learned, too, learning from that N60, knowing from the N64 classic story of you going to that random guy's house.
Yeah, I mean, that's even more recent, and I still, like, went over. But this was, like, a terrible first day of school, man. Like, I got a parking ticket because I parked in the wrong spot. And then this guy making me go to his house and, like... look at all his material, and it was, like, really sketchy. It was, like, in this weird apartment place, and, oh, my God, it was terrible.
Yikes.
Yeah. But, anyways, pyramid
schemes. You have experience for when you start this week at your new pyramid
scheme. Yeah, of course. I have plenty of experience. So if they ask me to go to their house or, you know, help sell soft drinks, I have some previous experience with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you start this week. Did you guys are you so you already filled out paperwork and you're officially working there, or?
Well, this is what they're doing. They're basically saying, like they like to move really quickly, I've noticed, and they're just like, bring these three, like, bring your ID, your social security card, and a void check from your bank. Yeah. And we'll fill out all the paperwork here instead of, like, giving it to me. And they're just like, they have a lady getting paid to, like, put little arrows where I'm supposed to sign so that I just, like, sign everything and just start working immediately.
That's not too crazy.
I mean, it's not too crazy, but I was like, it was kind of weird because I was just like, when I was leaving, I was like, oh, so are you going to give me paperwork that I can fill out and then give it to you? And they're like, no, this lady right here is going to basically get it to where you just sign your signature and we're done. And I'm like, oh, all right.
Did they talk about pay and benefits and all that stuff?
Yeah, I'm getting, it would be $10 an hour, mm-hmm. which is almost, it's above minimum wage here, but
yeah,
like, honestly, she was like, yeah, this is, I'm not gonna be able to pay you that much right now because you literally don't know anything about this job, so don't expect much. And yeah,
it's better than
nothing to me. So, and I don't know. We'll see how it pans out, but I know for a fact people who stay with the company, they make quite a bit of dough, and they have good
careers
afterwards.
You actually talk to people afterwards and ask them?
Before she has asked me to do like side jobs for them.
Okay.
Where it was like, here, we need you to work like 3 days, and we'll pay you like $1,500. So that's like a lot. It's a lot of money for like 3 days.
Well, we'll see next week if you're still alive.
Yeah, we'll see. Oh God, it's gonna be terrible. But anyways, other than the job, I've just been studying for exams. I have two exams tomorrow, which is today if you're listening to this on Wednesday. Then, yeah, I'm taking two exams, kind of sucks, and I had a speech on Monday, which also was pretty stressful. And then I have a midterm project due in my animation class on Saturday, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to work on it, because I got to work. And it's like, oh, it's crazy.
He's doing the podcast instead.
Yeah, I am doing the podcast instead. And I might actually do stuff after this.
You got spring break coming, don't you?
Yeah, I got spring break March 21st or something for a week.
Got any plans?
I don't know. I mean, my birthday is around then, so I'll be 21.
Whoa!
And I'm gonna go to casino, hit the casino, go to the strip club and do all this crazy stuff. Yeah. Start my own pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, wait, what are you doing after this?
That's I don't know.
You should be studying.
Yeah, I know, but I haven't like made a video in over a week, and I was going to talk to Scott.
You did make a video, but you didn't post it.
Yeah, I don't like it as much as I thought I did.
I understand.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
You guys aren't missing anything. I remember just watching it because you put it on Unlisted or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just remember watching it and I was like, I don't know if I should be offended or if this is like surreal comedy where it's so weird, it's funny.
Yeah.
And I couldn't make the decision.
I feel like I only made that entire video just for the ending.
The ending, like, where you mentioned the podcast?
No, the ending where I just go into space. Like, I think I had that joke in my head, and then I was like, oh, I should make a video. And then
space, I don't even remember that part.
Oh, wow. Well, that was my most memorable part.
My most memorable part is you just going, hey, guys, and your head spinning.
I wasn't trying to do Walt Jr.
I thought you were going for.
No, there's this YouTuber who kind of does, I don't know how to put it, but he kind of does that similar voice, and I wanted to do something similar to that, because I find his videos funny.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, my video sucks. My video is not worth it right now. I should just make like a legitimate video and then be done with it.
Well, there's some behind the scenes stuff for you people of a video you'll never see. Well,
yeah, Skolin, who knows? And Chief.
Yeah.
So at least we have two names to call out now. You know.
Oh yeah.
Chief's not lonely anymore. Got Skolin.
Yeah. No. Skolin has to prove him.
Oh yeah. He has to prove himself. You gotta say Taco Supreme in the somewhere.
Yeah, Taco Supreme.
Yeah, you gotta send me a message on Steam saying Taco Supreme, and then I'll give you a high five.
Alright.
Alright, Nick, what do you wanna...
We'd go on the game news now, or do you wanna talk about...
Yeah, we're going to game news.
Are you sure you don't wanna talk about building a computer?
No, we're not. I almost put it on there. It is mentioned in the video. I talk about building a computer.
It's true.
But you'll never see the video, so don't worry about that.
Don't worry. You guys heard enough of the computer.
Yeah, I'm not going to bore you about how I'll never build
it. Let's move the game news. And I'm going to start with the biggest news. I'm going to go out of order. We're going to talk about the Valve.
How's that the biggest news?
How's that the biggest news? Because it's virtual reality headset.
Oh, okay, first say what it is, and then
Valve joins
explain.
With HTC to make virtual reality headset.
Okay, now the thing is...
I feel like this is the biggest news.
It is big news, but the thing is, their virtual reality headset was announced last year. The new thing is that they joined HTC, which can make, hardware and stuff for Valve.
Right.
And that's the bigger news, because... Valve has expressed that virtual reality headsets aren't affordable for consumers, and so it looks like, since they're joining a big company to make these virtual reality headsets, maybe they're trying to put virtual reality in consumers' hands, unlike Oculus Rift, which you have to get a developer kit, and they're really expensive, and this would put, maybe a cheaper price tag on it, and it might be more accessible to people. And Valve's VR headset is actually supposed to be leaps and bounds above Oculus Rift, so you'd essentially get something really finished and polished, and it works with all Source games, and Valve has stated that their Source 2.0 engine works really well with virtual reality, so maybe we'll see some crazy new franchise from Valve. Based awesome. Solely on virtual reality, which would be, pretty crazy.
The reason I said it was big news is because I feel like any news with Valve is, because they don't really have news that often. Unless That's it's, true. A TF2 update.
Not even that. The last time I think people got excited was actually pretty recently, and it's still kind of new, so I'll talk about it, is that Valve... is going to be giving a conference. I forgot where it is. I think it might be GDC, which is Games Developers Conference, or somewhere else. And in their file, they're going to be showing and speaking with at the conference. It has a list of games, right? A list of games that are on the Steam Marketplace. Now, one of the ID numbers for one of these games listed doesn't exist yet on the Steam Marketplace. So people are like, oh my god, is it going to be like Half-Life 3 or Left 4 Dead 3 or Portal 3 or what's going on here? Yeah. And so people are kind of freaking out about that. But in all honesty, might not be anything. Might just be some virtual reality game to show off their headset. So yeah,
true. We'll keep an eye on it.
I think
the virtual reality thing's pretty cool. I want to try it, so...
Yeah, I was actually thinking a while ago, I was like, man, you know what would be awesome is if I got real famous on streaming and I got enough money to buy a virtual reality headset. Oh man, I would be the coolest dude in the place. Yeah, but that never happened.
Yeah. Becoming popular is a dream fading away, I think, maybe.
Oh, wow, Nick already gave up.
Nick
saw my latest video, so he already gave up for me, too.
I actually did I wouldn't say apply isn't the right word, but I emailed the gaming site, I'm not going to mention, and see if they wanted a reviewer. They got a lot more people watching their site than mine, so I feel like maybe it'll put my name out there more.
Yeah, or maybe even say, I see you might not have that many YouTube subscribers, and I could help beef that up. I could give you some videos,
Right. Yeah, I mentioned that, too. I was like, I know how to make videos. Give me a chance. Yeah. All right, let's move on. This I'm excited about. Have you ever played Clay Fighters for the Super Nintendo?
Yes.
This is one of my favorite fighting games, believe it or not. This Mortal Kombat and I guess Street Fighters. I like Street Fighter, but I don't think it's amazing.
Let's just get this out of the way first.
It's Clay being Fighter. Remastered.
Clay Fighter was a really creepy game.
If that makes sense. I thought it was awesome.
No, it was a fun fighting game, but I remember playing it as like a really young kid, and I was like, oh man, why is this snowman really angry? And like, oh, what's this blob thing? And oh, everything's so creepy.
Yeah.
And they're like punching. Oh, like I just remember it being like kind of twisted a little bit, which is, well, I'm not saying that's like bad or it's like super morbid or anything. I was just saying, you know, it has its own flavor to the fighting genre, which is nice.
So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if there's much. If you played it, you played it. It's kind of like a cult following type game.
Yeah.
As that I feel like.
Yeah, I could agree. I feel like if you played it, you definitely remember it.
Right.
And if they had an
N64 one too, but I never played it. But I believe it's one of the most rare N64 games.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So keep an eye out for that.
Maybe I'll have to go foraging in my cousin's closet.
Speaking of trading in, let's move on to the next thing. That was a good segue, right?
Oh my god, it couldn't be any more smooth.
Yeah. GameStop is once again accepting PS2s. I don't know why.
But... I don't know, man. They're building a giant PS2 monster. They're making like servers out of PS2s or something. They're selling them. Yeah. They're selling PS2s to Afghanistan. Do you remember that whole thing?
Kind of.
Where like okay, so Sony made PS2s available in like the Middle East.
Yeah.
And everyone freaked out because they're like, "You can make bombs out of PS2s. This is a terrible idea." So.
What happened in reality? They're all just playing FIFA?
Yeah, they're all just playing games. Like, and no one was making bombs out of PS2s. Like, that is probably one of the most expensive ways to go make a bomb. Is to, like, when the PS2 was popular, go spend, like, $200 or whatever it was.
Well, at least just they could watch DVDs.
Yeah, I guess, right? They could watch DVDs on their bomb. Man.
Well, people. If you trade it in with the cables, you get $25 in store credit. And if you don't have the cables, it's going to be $20 in store credit.
Pretty much useless.
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know why they would want them.
Yeah.
But
I think it's just tricking families, you know. Oh, we could buy a whole new half game. We can buy a whole half of a game with our PS2. Right here,
we could buy Saints Row, God Out of Hell.
Yeah, we could get God Out of Hell, which is like 4 to 5 hours of fun.
Did you ever beat that?
No. I got bigger fish to fry, Nick.
All right, let's move to the last one. This is kind of getting jumbled up.
All right, Unreal Engine 4 is now completely free.
Woohoo!
So
I have a friend that's really excited about this because he's a game developer.
Oh wow!
And he was talking about it.
And I've seen some pictures, like okay, so Unreal Engine 4 was announced a couple years ago, but the type of visual quality you can get out of this engine is astonishing. Like, there's tons of pictures and videos showing like how realistic you can make items and stuff like that. I saw a picture of a couch in a living room, and it looked like just someone took a picture of their couch in their living room, and then it's like, this is made in Unreal 4, and I'm like, oh god damn,
that's sexy.
Also, like, kind of crazy how Unreal's like their entire like being is now like open source. Mm-hmm. Like, they're having fans create the next Unreal tournament. I don't know if you heard about that.
No.
But it's like completely open source. Like, fans just come in and help make the game. And now that the entire engine's free, it's like, you know?
Yeah. I have the same level of excitement.
Yeah, I'm just... I don't know if I'm like, I'm not excited that much because I don't really develop games, but maybe there'll be pretty games down the road.
Maybe
because
that's what my friend was doing.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, there's a ton of games that are still being made on Unreal 3, so it's nice that there's like going to be an upgrade visually and hopefully like more optimization in our future games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
move on to what we've been playing.
Yeah, what have you been playing, Nick? That
news segment was just...
That was terrible. Yeah. Let's just continue.
Let's edit that out.
Let's just keep Valve, and then everything else is not worthy.
I'm still playing Zelda Wind Waker. I'm on the last dungeon, finally.
Isn't that what you said last week?
I thought I was about to be on the last dungeon, but then I had to collect Triforce pieces throughout the sea, and that took some time. But I'm finally have the Triforce and my Master Sword all powered up, and I can go fight Ganon now. Now I gotta go through one dungeon, and then I'm done.
Oh, nice. Nice. But
besides that, I saw someone post on Reddit. It was like, this was the first time where I was like, holy crap, this is amazing in any game. And it was a picture of this battle scene, like people on, like a D-Day looking scene.
Yeah.
It looked like PS1 or PS2 graphics. And I was like, what game is this? I don't think I played this. And it was the original Call of Duty, and people are going crazy. And I never had the first Call of Duty I ever played was Modern Warfare, the first one. And I thought it was fine. So I got Call of Duty, the first one.
Okay. Well, you're going to be... I don't think the game's really aged that well.
Let me tell you my opinion since I've been playing it.
Oh, you have been playing it.
I think I'm like a quarter through the game.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really enjoying it. So, doesn't have rechargeable health. I had to get used to that.
Yeah.
But I really like it. I think I like it more than Modern Warfare.
Well,
like,
it's
the stories
to be...
are so far pretty good, like, and exciting. Like, the game is exciting to play.
Yeah, and it's supposed to actually be, like, the first Call of Duty and the second Call of Duty are supposed to be pretty much the best campaigns, because they're all, like, historical events, and they're, like, the stories are just overall better. People actually die instead of, like, you know, rechargeable health all the time. People are dying all around you, and it's more like a war-torn area and a battle scene versus... You're the lone gunman killing everyone, like in Halo.
Right, yeah, I have a squad around me, and I care about them surviving and whatnot.
Yeah.
And people are shooting at each other. I think it's aged pretty good. So.
Yeah, all right. I thought maybe the controls would be bad, because I remember, like, playing old first-person shooters, like, from PS1 era.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing PC,
so
yeah, I imagine PC would be a lot better, but I remember playing like Medal of Honor, the first Medal of Honor.
Yeah.
And oh my god, it is really terrible. You have to control, because there's no analog sticks for the PS1, so you have to use the D-pad to control your aiming, and it's really difficult. But
yeah.
You know.
I'm planning on finishing it, so talk about it more once I played more. And then game I played is Squirrel-topia.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's like a Super Meat Boy type game.
Okay.
And it's pretty difficult. There is I'm having a lot of fun with it, actually.
Uh-huh.
But my problem is I played an hour today.
Yeah.
From the beginning, and then the game crashed, and I had to start from the beginning. For some reason, my save file got destroyed or something.
Oh, that's not
And I'm
good.
Like, great. Because the levels are hard to get through, and I'm like, I got to do all those levels again.
Is there no quick save function?
Not that I can find. So this is what I've been just quitting the game every boss. When I get to a boss battle and beat a boss, I quit out of it, and that saves it. I don't know how else to save it.
Wow, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that a platformer wouldn't have, like, saves after every single level you beat.
I feel like it does, because when I quit to the main menu and go back, it's still saved. I think just it crashing, something happened to it.
Oh.
So that wasn't good. But I'm having fun with it, so I'm keeping an eye on it.
All right.
What have you been playing?
So I've actually not... Put my usual suspects here. I'm not going to do that anymore. Thanks. But
all right.
I've been playing Hand of Fate. And last week I said I played maybe almost 2 hours. And I was worried that the game would end really quickly. And I would be done with the game within, you know, 5-6 hours, and that'd be it. Now, up until maybe a couple days ago, I had pretty much gone through each level without dying, okay?
Yeah.
Then, like, kind of, it might be a little bit bad, but all of a sudden the game ramps up like crazy and makes it really difficult to actually continue past each level. And I found out fairly quickly that I would start dying a lot because you have to, you get these choices. You land on a space and it gives you the choice. Do you want to risk selling some of your blood to this vampire for some gold so that later on you can go to the shop and buy food because you need food to continue to move to different spots on the player board? And it's like, oh crap, I want to, you know, sell some of my blood because I need this money. I need that cash money right now, and I need that food or else I'm going to die anyways. So you sell your blood to this vampire. Oh, and guess what?
What?
It has a chance of going terribly wrong. So you sell your blood to this vampire, and all of a sudden he gets, like, bloodthirsty and attacks you and takes away, like, 50% of your health, and you don't get any gold, and it's just, like, terrible. Like, all these terrible things can happen to you at any time and just ruin your run. And what I actually didn't know about this game until after I started dying was that it's all roguelike. So the entire map changes every time you die. The entire game changes. And you have to go through the level all over again without knowing anything.
So you're not really closer to the end than you were last week.
I am. I have...
Just a little, though.
I put in around 3 hours, and I probably only beat 2 levels. And my god. Oh. I beat the last level with 1 health. 1 out of 100 health. Oh my. I was going to crap myself because I've been playing it for like an hour and a half and I wasn't getting anywhere. And I luckily landed on the boss and I was like, oh my god, I have to beat this. Oh,
you like these types of games where it's really long to do things.
Right? Not necessarily. Like it's Banished. It's kind of getting annoying to me, to be honest.
Said that about Banished, though.
Yeah, that's true. I think they're annoying.
Me saying like isn't the right word. Yeah. But you tolerate these games.
I appreciate like doing well after spending so much time on something.
Do you like it more than you did last week or less?
That's a difficult question because I like it more with the fact that there's a lot more content than I thought there was.
Yeah.
And there's an endless mode that I actually tried playing out, which I actually did quite well in, surprisingly. But the thing I'm still concerned with is that at the end of the day, I still have only put 5 hours into this game. Yeah. And I feel like I'm not going to be putting as many hours as I want to into the game.
You said last week to buy it on sale. Do you still
Say buy it on sale if you're into like roguelike RPGs.
Or wait for a sale, I meant to say.
Yeah. If it's $10 and you've seen the game and you like what it has, then I would say get it. I can't necessarily support a $20 purchase, so.
Alright, well we'll keep updated on that.
Yeah, we'll keep updated. And you know what? It's fun. It's fun. You know, just try it out. There's going to be DLC planned for the game, so maybe get it with the DLC combo pack for like $12-15 or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I played some other games this week.
Let's hear it!
I played Dying Light, Nick.
All right. Did you start that last week? Did we talk about this last week?
No, I don't think we did talk about it last week. I didn't have it on my list of games, but
I thought you bought it from GameStop, but had to return it or something.
No, I had it from Gamefly, and it's been here for about a month or something. And I haven't touched it until this week.
Okay.
And so I put a couple hours into it.
Yes.
And I don't know, man. It's interesting. It's an interesting game because I feel like it's really difficult.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you got this, but I like to me, it was difficult. And I think it was because running around at night is so much harder than thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Like, if you go out at night, you're pretty much going to die. Yeah. And
unless you can be stealthy or something.
Yeah, unless you, like, really get paranoid and watch your map and, like, really stealth it out.
Yeah.
But some missions you have to do at night in order to get, like, a bigger reward, right?
Right.
And, like, I find them really almost impossible because I just die so many times. Like, I've only put a couple hours into the game. I'm not even that far. I've only had one mission where it says, you know, if you do this at night, we can really, you know, get a lot more out of it. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to set it up so that everything's ready for nighttime. Yeah. And then at night, I have to go run to the area to go do the
trap. I know what mission you're talking about. And my advice to you is to come back to it when you're a higher level. That's what I had to do.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking maybe it's just because I'm too weak right now. And there's nothing I can really do. I don't have a way to defend myself.
Right.
And even in the daytime, it's really hard to defend yourself if you have a couple zombies after you.
Yeah.
Like,
The mission, you have to go to this generator thing, right?
And yeah, something like that.
This electricity area. This is what I did. I went there right before, like, I waited for the time. I was watching the time, and when it was about to be night, I ran over there. And then as it turned night, I was already next to it.
And you just activated it or whatever?
Yeah, pretty much. Oh. And then you get a safe house right there, and then I just slept through the night.
Oh, that's a good idea. On. But I think, like, it's kind of weird, because I don't want to compare it to Dead Island at all, because it, to me, it doesn't feel like Dead Island.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Dead Island, I felt like you were a lot stronger. And that could be because in Dying Light, I'm expecting you have to level up a lot in order to be just some badass.
Yeah.
And in Dead Island, you could just take a paddle and smack a guy once or twice and it's done.
Yeah.
But in this game, you take, like, a really good weapon and it still takes, like, 4 or 5 hits to kill a zombie.
You gotta aim for their,
for their necks, heads.
And the necks noggin. And head. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's pretty, it feels pretty difficult to me.
I actually liked how they did the difficulty in this game, because at the beginning where you're at the game, you're supposed to focus on dodging the zombies.
Yeah.
That's it. You're playing Hot Lava and you're jumping around and whatnot. But later on in the game, when you become stronger and level up, then you get more, you fight more zombies. You get new techniques to hide from zombies. And there's even a point where you can get an ability where a dead zombie, you can cover yourself in, like, zombie guts, and, like, no other zombies will see you.
Yeah.
So there's things that get upgraded. You definitely need to level up in the game. But overall, how are you liking it so far?
I mean, yeah, I'm liking the difficulty a little bit. I think it's kind of like, oh, this is a lot more realistic than, like, a Dead Island or a Left 4 Dead or something.
Dead,
like,
Island's story was kind of silly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not paying too much attention to the story because I thought the intro to Dying Light was really terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's pretty much like zombies, and then you jump out of a plane. And then I was like, oh, well, so much for intro.
The story, a lot of people are agreeing, isn't the best.
Yeah.
But because it's pretty much a zombie story. There's nothing new to it.
I'm not complaining too much, but I do think, like you were saying, that, like, the whole beginning of the game, you're really, like, trying to stay alive the entire time and not really trying to fight anyone.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. There's only one thing that was kind of getting annoying, is that there was one mission where you had to, like, land on these very narrow ledges.
Mm-hmm.
And you were pretty much, like, 2 stories in the air.
Hmm.
And because I'm playing with a controller, I don't know if it was because I was playing with a controller and it just made it a lot more difficult, but I would, like, jump onto these edges and just immediately fall off and have to, like, use a medkit right away or else I'll just die.
I think you might not be holding on to the grab button.
I think that could have been it or something, but I was just, like, I was getting pretty frustrated because I jumped like 3 or 4 times. I know what you're talking
about, because it would happen to me, and sometimes the game did have the problem of you didn't hold the ledge button long enough, even though you felt like you did.
Yeah.
So,
but overall, I'm enjoying it. So, I feel like it's definitely a good enough game to get the hype around it that it does have. So,
yep.
And last but not least, sorry I'm taking so long talking about my game.
No, it's fine. I'll come back to that because I want to see what your overall, once you get farther in the game, your opinion is.
Hopefully, like you've said though before, is that it takes a long time to get to the end. And hopefully
I did a lot of side missions.
All right. Well, hopefully I can just like level up pretty quickly and not have to worry about spending 30 hours in it.
Yeah, I spent 30 hours. Chief told me he spent 20 and beat it. So, all
right. Maybe I'll speed run to 15.
Though Chief regretted it, he's told me. She did spend more time with the side missions like me.
Oh. Well, damn. Anyways, last game I played was Swapper. I talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
It was a free PlayStation Plus game, and I haven't beat it. I feel like I'm really close.
Yeah.
It's getting really difficult. The puzzles are getting really difficult.
Yeah.
Like, there are a couple, like, I can't even start because I have no idea how to even think about it. But I'm still enjoying it. It still has the same mood and atmosphere that I remember when I started playing it. And it's still, you know, pretty fun. It's like a calm experience, even though you're like in space and something like blew up your spaceship and stuff. But I feel like it's definitely a good game, and I think you should try and go back to it, because you said you played it on iPad or whatever, and it wasn't the same, so I feel like you should give it a go.
Yeah, I played a little bit of it a long time ago on my iPad, but I feel like I should play it on, like, a console or a computer.
Yeah, because I have, like, from what I've played, I have no idea what you're talking about when you said it wasn't really a good game, so.
Yeah, I'll have to go back to that for sure.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyways, segue time. Speaking of jobs, what's your worst job and best job?
I did not pick this topic.
I picked this topic because I got a new job, and I wanted to ask Nick what his worst job experience and his best job experience was.
I feel like I've talked about my bad before, though, with how I was a manager and whatnot, and I was working so much, and I barely got any sleep. And I was in charge of everyone, and it was very stressful, and it what got me to quit and move halfway across the country.
Well, I think that's like a different, because you just told me earlier that you only had really two jobs.
I thought I'm going to include organized remains, I guess. You count that as a job?
Sure, but I was going for, like, not necessarily job that tore you down physically and mentally. But, like, what was the job where you're like, I can't believe I worked doing that. Like, I can't believe that was my job.
Yeah. You know, oh, man, saying? It's hard to say because that manager one is pretty much it. But I can give another example. I'm going to give an example.
Well, if you'd like, I could say mine because I've had more jobs than you.
I'm going to say something maybe people don't really know about when it comes to writing about video games and whatnot and finding a job that isn't your own blog, because I've had bad experiences with people and good experiences. So maybe I should talk about that. Would you like to hear that?
Yeah, go for it.
I did write for a site for a little bit 2 years ago, and it was fine. I learned a lot. The only problem is the guy owned the site that I was writing for stopped contacting me. I would write him emails, try to contact him. He would never write back. And that sucked how it ended. But the job overall was good. I learned how to talk to publishers and developers of games. And I even did some interviews with people. I've never done interviews with any but like game developers before. So that was a good experience. But after that, I was like, I guess I should find another one. So I went to videogamejournalism.com, where people post ads and whatnot, and I found a site, and I thought it looked good. There was one little thing where I was like, this is odd. They were selling this program to either hack, I don't think it's hacking, but get coins in this game from some site. And I didn't know what the game was, and I was like, this is odd. So I email the guy, tell him I'm interested in reviewing and whatnot.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, cool. And we start talking on Skype and emailing. And he's telling me about writing, and it's all fine. And then I ask him about the selling of the coins and whatnot. And he explains it, and I'm like, that sounds not legal. So I ask him, I'm like, sounds a little illegal, huh? And he's just, and he said one of those weird comments where he didn't outright just say yes, but he said something that ended with a winky face.
Oh my god.
And I was just like, I can't write for this guy.
Well, he's like, you know, it's not quite killing a person, winky face.
Right. But I already agreed that I would write reviews.
Uh-huh.
Luckily, though, there was no contract involved. Oh, so okay. I thought about it for a day, and I was like, I can't do it. I can't write for this guy. So I email him. I'm like, I try to be as nice as possible. I'm like, it's not going to work out. Sorry, blah, blah, blah.
You're scamming people illegally.
I didn't say that. I just want to get out of there.
Yeah.
And then he of course, didn't like that I did this, that I agreed and then got backed out. So he just wrote a one word. Like, I wrote, like, two paragraphs explaining the situation. Like, I'm not going to have time to write reviews for you. I didn't just blatantly say, you're doing something weird and I don't like it. I need to get out of here.
Yeah.
And then he just wrote an email that just said, wow.
Oh my god.
And I was just like, what? You can't. And I was just like, I'm glad I got out of there. So this is really, it's not a horrible experience because I never really did work for him. This story is to tell you guys, if you don't feel comfortable with something, get out of there. Because what if I did work for this guy? He didn't even respond.
Then he'd be famous.
To that. I'd be famous. I'd be in jail famous. Not that. And you don't want to work for someone that's going to treat you bad, you know?
Yeah.
So just, you got to be careful when it comes to writing reviews because you can do it for free, but you don't want to be taken advantage of and whatnot. Sometimes people expect too much from you, and then even getting paid is a tough situation because you can get scammed that way too.
So I think a good way to put it is that, like, you should know your worth,
right?
And if you know how much you are worth, then you shouldn't, like, if someone's treating you less than you're worth, then obviously you should do something. If you're getting paid less than you're worth, you should do something.
Right.
If the company is worth less than you, then you should do something. Yeah. Like, that's definitely something to keep in mind, is that you should always keep your environment as good, if not better, than, like, your self-worth.
Yeah. My advice is, if you're starting out and you want to be a writer or a game journalist or whatever you want to call it, do what I did. You start your own little blog and write and figure out your voice, I guess you could say. Because if people are looking for writers, they want examples they can look at of your writing.
Yeah, and if you have thing going.
I've read many times with sites. Big sites and little sites, they all say this, especially the big sites where, like, we get tons of emails a day, people asking to be reviewers, and then they don't send any examples of their work, and we just skip over them because we don't even have time to respond to everyone.
Yeah.
So you really need those examples.
So what's your best job, Nick?
Best job, organized remains. Is that a cheap answer?
No, it's not a cheap answer.
I've been doing it for 6 years, and I'm still doing it. I'm still having fun with it.
And you're working for yourself, so
yeah, that's always nice. I've had jobs where I got paid. I mean, there's always good and bad.
Yeah.
I mean, my first job, not much happened. I worked at a shoe store. Not much really happened. I had a group of friends there, and we all just kind of just sold sat shoes. Around chatting, playing cards or whatever.
And so selling shoes.
Selling shoes once in a while. But yeah. There was fun times. All so right. I don't really know. I don't have a job that I'm like, it's the best job ever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm trying to have a job like that because I don't want to go back to crappy jobs. But...
Well, maybe it was just geared more towards me, I guess, like, because I had two things clearly in mind. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was not prepared for this at all. I apologize.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry that I kind of sprung it up, so.
This is like, you should have told me a week ago.
Well, I didn't have it in my head a week ago. I just came up with it, all right?
We need to come up with an idea list.
Oh, that's true. That'd be a good idea. A random topic list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we can just write think it over.
Yeah.
All right, let's hear your best and worst jobs and wrap it up.
All right, so... I mean, now you talked about working for someone else, like, online, and I kind of want to talk about that now that you mentioned it.
Okay.
So I'll talk about that a little bit. Like, I would say one of my worst jobs was working for a network on YouTube, and, like, that includes posting stuff on their site and posting stuff to, like, a third-party site and posting stuff to YouTube, and... It was just a really bad experience for me, and you told me last week that Just Another Level was looking at a network, and it left like a sour taste in my mouth, like, oh god, I really hope she doesn't have to deal with what I had to deal with, because networks are really terrible, in my opinion.
And I was talking to her, and I guess she has other friends that do have partnerships, and they all had good things to say about it.
Yeah, but, like, for me, at the end of the day, like, when I think about it, I'm like, what do networks really do? And what they do is just take a percentage of your revenue from YouTube. And the thing is, if you're not taking, or if you don't have a revenue from YouTube, then they just own your content, and they own you, and there's, like, no point in being with them.
Yeah.
At least that's what I think. It's just, there's no real point in being with them, except they have, like, a free music library, or, like... Oh, here's some free resources that we have that you could find somewhere else, you know, or go make on your own. And I don't know, it feels really scammy to me because the majority of networks on YouTube are scams and they are meant to take everything you create and have it owned by them and you become part of them even though you are like, if okay, for Machinima, for example, you have 1,000 individuals who are worthless on their own. They don't make any revenue, and they don't really do much except produce content. Now, Machinima basically partners all these people and don't really give them any benefits, really, except now Machinima owns 1,000 channels, right, and owns all the content and can monetize all that content and take a percentage out of it. So even if like $50 per person isn't really the best annual wage, I would say, for a YouTube channel, I mean, it's like, I haven't made $50 yet, but I'm saying, like, in general, $50 is not gonna pay your rent, all right, per year. But for Machinima, 50 times 1,000 is a lot of money for them, but it's not a lot of money for you, and they take a does that make sense?
Yeah, because they're not, it's a lot of money for them because they're not really doing anything.
And they own so much, like, they own you and though everything. There is pluses.
I think Cowman was telling me he doesn't get flagged on copyrighted music or something like that.
Cowman doesn't even post that often.
I know, but he was telling me, so there are pluses, I guess. But overall, I think he mentioned not liking it, or something. So you gotta be careful. Careful on that internet.
Like with the whole copyright music thing, it's like you shouldn't be using copyrighted music anyways. You know, so like if you just have enough common sense on your own, I feel like you can run yourself. Like I'm partnered directly with YouTube, and I feel like that's a lot easier because if I make a mistake, it's like my fault anyways, and I don't have, like, this, like, scammy business over me or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways, worst job that's not part of that was me being a shuttle driver at a country gentleman's club thing. Yeah. That was very interesting. I would have to wake up at 4 in the morning, drive an hour to the gentleman's club, And then I would be driving a bus. Driving.
You drove a bus?
It was a 15-seater van.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a short bus a little bit. And I would have to drive employees up and down a mountain. Because, like, there was limited parking at the top of the mountain.
Okay.
So all the employees had to park at the bottom, and I had to bring them up the mountain to their, like, to their jobs. Because there were several different buildings, and I had to take, like...
I thought you said it was a gentleman's club.
It is. It is only men can be a part of this club.
Oh, I mean, I thought gentlemen's clubs are like strip clubs.
Well, it was back in the day, but now since that's like, you can't do that anymore. Now
how
they,
old are you?
I can't say that. Oh. I can't release this information.
Oh, okay. Right. I thought you could.
But anyways, I mean, Nick, I told you my birth, like I told you how old I am earlier in this podcast.
So what's that have to do?
You can remember my age, goddammit.
I know how. What are you talking about?
Didn't you ask how old I am?
I asked how old were you when you had this job.
Oh, when I had this job? Oh.
I think that's what I asked.
I think I was just 18.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I want to know, if you were just got your license or something.
Yeah, so I was 18. Okay, first off, in order to actually drive these buses, I'm pretty sure you have to have like a specific license, okay? Because a lot of these people who got hired to drive the shuttles, they would crash them because they didn't know how to drive a ginormous vehicle. Like, you have to you have to turn really wide and stuff. Like, I was able to do it because I drove a Yukon XL, so I could, like, relate to a large vehicle. And these people, like, driving their small-ass cars they were, like, popping tires. Like, bumpers were falling off. Like, these people could not drive them. They had to, like, quit and stuff. But, my God, the worst part about it was having to get up at, like, 4 in the morning, drive all day, and then have to drive all the way back home. And that entire experience and, like, driving these employees who were all, like, assholes because they were all, like, the majority of them were, like 16 to 18 year old females, because that's what gentlemen like, you know?
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, they like pretty girls serving them food. And these were all like the waitresses, or they like ran the on site store or something. They probably weren't 16, but they're probably like 18 to 20 or something. I don't know.
Wait. How long did you do this job for?
So the thing is, it was super intensive, and it was only for a month, but they do several events per summer. So it's like only in the summer, and you do a whole month, and then there's a 2-week period, and then like another 2-week period, and you worked over 40 hours a week, and it was just, oh my God. It was not.
So it was a temp job?
It was a temporary job, but they hire you back every single year, and I kind of turned it down. Even though the pay was good and everything, it just, I thought it was like my worst job. So I didn't want to redo it.
Best job? I mean,
it was kind of cool, though. I'll say there were some perks, because a lot of high-status males are in this gentleman's club. Like, I saw Clint Eastwood, Conan O'Brien, Mike Rowe. I saw a lot of Nicolas Cage was there.
You drove him around?
No, I didn't get to drive him. I only drove employees. They have specific people who can only drive members of the club. So I could see them, but I couldn't like do anything.
I could see them.
I could see them. The one I saw clearest was Clint Eastwood.
I saw him at Nicolas Cage once, and surprisingly, he was really short.
I didn't actually personally see Nicolas Cage. I just remember I had to drive an employee to Nicolas Cage's like room to serve him enchiladas. So, because Nicolas Cage specifically asked for enchiladas, because he didn't want to eat the shrimp or whatever was that day. Yeah.
Too good.
Yeah, it was interesting, but it was definitely like non-enjoyable. And you couldn't, like, bring lunch or go get lunch. They, like, served you lunch. And it was just, like, this really crappy sandwich. And sometimes they wouldn't have enough food for, like, the bus, the shuttle drivers. So it would just be, like, bread, cheese, and lettuce or something. It was just, like, terrible. And you're supposed to get, like, fruit and candy and, like, bag like of chips. And, like, you're supposed to get a lunch. And sometimes they would skimp on you. And it was really terrible because you're working, like, 10 hours a day. And you're starving to death. And so people would, like, smuggle in food. And, like, oh, my God. There was, like, a whole trading system. This old woman who was a shuttle driver would bring in donuts in the morning because everyone's, like, freaking hungry at 5 o'clock in the morning, right? And you need to wake up, so you need something. And she'd bring in donuts, but it was like, against the rules of the company to give food to other employees. So, like, she would have to, like, our buses would have to, like, drive right next to each other at the perfect angle, and she would, like, give you a donut and, like, drive off. It was nuts, man. And then she got caught one day, and then I never got any more donuts. But it was a ride.
Like speed. It's like the bus can't go below 55.
Well, no. Grab okay. The donut. We were not allowed to drive above 5 miles an hour. Okay, it was that I passed out several times driving the bus, but like would wake up and I was only like 10 feet away, like 10 feet from where I was because we were going so slow. It was terrible.
Oh man, that's good.
And they had some bad. Okay, there was 6 shuttles, right? And you had to get there really early in the morning unless you wanted to die, because 3 of these shuttles worked. The other 3 did not have. You could not really power the windows. You could not, like, roll them down or roll them up. So they were pretty much always down. You did not have radio. You did not have a heater. You did not have air conditioning. And you did not have, and it was all stick. So these were the most miserable, miserable things in the world. And the company...
Oh, man, this is a lot better than my...
Despite having, like, people like Clint Eastwood paying to be in their gentlemen's club, they could not fix their damn shuttles. And, like, the brakes were not working. This power steering did not work. It was terrible. And you'd get there 5 in the morning, freezing your ass off because all the windows are down. You don't have a heater. You can't play music to stay awake, so you'd basically just get, like, frostbite and, like, fall asleep at the steering wheel. And then you had to use all your strength to move the goddamn steering wheel because there was no power steering. Anyways, my best job was working at GameStop.
Man. I feel... What?
Anyways, my best job was working at GameStop.
I wanted to say that my... I didn't know Clint was gonna have this type of story lined up. I have stories about my job that are good too. I know I'm make sure people know that.
Nick has his own stuff
sometime.
Yeah,
I was all informative.
Yeah, you were. You're very informative. Watching out for the people,
but it's not funny. I feel kind it was of bad because people stopped watching at that point and never heard your story.
Oh, wow. But trust, it was not funny when I was doing this job, all right?
Oh,
yeah,
I bet.
It was miserable. Like, I forgot. Like, you couldn't bring technology, so you couldn't have your phone. You couldn't do anything. And a lot of the job was waiting for people to get off their shift so you could drive them down or up the mountain. And I can't remember, but I think I actually had to start reading. Because I was so bored. Yeah.
Poor Quinn.
Yeah. I think I had to start reading. It was terrible. The best part about that job is that they gave me a walkie-talkie, and I felt really like, oh, I can talk to people because I got a walkie-talkie, you know? But, yeah, we had to, like, wear a certain attire and have our shirts tucked in and all this other stuff, and it was just not pleasant. And there was only one porta-potty. For, like, all, like, 600 employees or something. No, there was, like, 3 porta-potties, but still pretty terrible.
Even Clint Eastwood used a porta-potty?
Oh, no, he had his own, like, wooden shack built for him. Like, they, it was like, it's in the forest, all right? And they have, like, all these, like, bungalows.
I
don't
know what he's doing at this club.
I don't know, man. I mean, honestly, they could still have strippers, but they have to bring them to their own room or whatever. They used to do it on display, but now that's not so hot in the area. Anyways, best job, GameStop. And let me explain briefly, because we're kind of... This is kind of a lot longer than we anticipated. I would say GameStop is the best job because it was honestly... It was this. It was like talking to people about games and about, you know, just stuff in general for 8 hours a day. It was... Or 4 hours or 8 hours or whatever the shift was. You just talk to people who really enjoy video games and you just got to talk to them about video games. Now, it's not as awesome as, you know, me and you talking, because obviously, like, you play a lot of games on the PC, and people who work at GameStop don't play on PC for the majority.
What noobs?
Yeah, I know, right? So I'm, like, trying to talk about, like, oh, when Don't Starve was first released, right? I was like, oh, Don't Starve's a really fun game, and no one knew what the hell I was talking about. Or I would talk about Skyrim, and they're like, yeah, but it's not, you know, there's some glitches on PS3. And I'm like, what? Why would the hell would you have Skyrim on PS3? Who are you people? And I don't know. It was the story from there that was pretty awesome, though. There was I met the regional manager. So basically the guy that could make me a higher up in the company, right?
Yeah.
And so he was asking which console I play on, because he like asked it to all the employees or whatever. And he, like, wanted to know how much I knew about video games. And I was like, oh, I play on PC for the most part. And he's like, oh.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you know a lot. Like, he's like, you're well informed. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And he's like, which operating system do you use? And I was like, ah, crap. And I was like, I play on Windows. And he's like, you know what? If you had told me Linux, I would have made you a manager right off the bat. I would have given you such a better job. And I was like, Linux, I play on Linux, please. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting how, like, you wouldn't think the more managerial people, like the more, like regional manager, you wouldn't think he would know a lot about video games, but he knew like the most. And I don't know. It's kind of cool. I just thought it was cool talking to people about video games, 'cause I like video games and I'm a nerd. All right. Well,
nerd.
And sometimes the employees would like come dressed in, well, not, maybe not dressed in, but they would get really excited for like release parties and would like come in cosplay and stuff.
So why aren't you working there?
It's complicated.
All
right. Complicated.
Well, we'll find out how Quinn's new job goes and if it becomes his best job or worst job. Or more likely is average in the
middle. Yeah, I feel like it'll be an interesting job, but not really awesome and not really, you know, driving at 5 in the morning in the freezing cold with a bunch of assholes in the back.
All right.
All right, I guess there's only one thing to do, Nick, and that is to wrap it up!
Organizer mains! Twitch Organizer mains! YouTube Organizer mains! Twitter
check out organizermains.com on the interwebs! We got @BrennanChicken_! We got twitch.tv/MrBrennanChicken! And MrBrennanChicken on YouTube.
All right. Yeah.
3, 2, 1. See ya, freaks.